tomorrow, AFL fans will witness an historic grand final as the Melbourne Demons face off against the Western Bulldogs at the Perth Stadium. For the Bulldogs, it's a chance to win their second flag in 5 years. And for Melbourne, well, the aptly named Demons have plenty to be rid of, last winning a premiership in 1964. Most of the supporters who'd usually be at the MCG to see the final will instead be watching from the couch. That doesn't mean the excitement is not building, though. Three join our panel this morning. Former Melbourne Football Club director and ABC presenter Beverly O'Connor. David Bridie, singer songwriter from My Friend and the Chocolate Cake, who has supported the club all his life, even naming a song after one of the Demons' most famous players. And for balance, we have the man who literally wrote the book on Footscray, now better known as the Bulldogs, called Southern Sky Western Oval, the author Martin Flanagan. To all three of you, a very good morning.
Morning, Hamish.
Good morning.
Beverly, I hear you've been keeping a pretty low profile this week for fear of jinxing the club. Couldn't you be a little more confident? You're the minor premiers.
Look, I think Melbourne fans, so many people have remarked on just how subdued we've all been this year. We've been living out every single football cliche there is in the book, taking it one week at a time, not getting ahead of ourselves. And I think it's really because we have not in our lifetimes, and David, I'm sure you and I know how this feels, we've never seen this sort of team, this level of consistency and this reason to believe that this could be our year. So we have to contain it, Hamish, and I'm giving that order to all Melbourne fans until that final whistle blows.
David, are you observing those orders?
Oh, no, sometimes I get ahead of myself. But you know, look, we're enjoying it. But I think Beverly's right, and we've never seen this a team so consistent in going about it so sensibly. Doesn't mean our supporters have been, but yeah, we're very wary. I mean, the two grand finals in my lifetime, 88 and 2000, were disasters. We're all pretty confident that tomorrow's going to be very different.
Martin, Footscray also went a pretty long time without a premiership, beating Melbourne in the 1954 grand final, then having to wait until 2016 for the next flag. Does that sort of give a sense of greater confidence going into this weekend, or a sense that actually this can be done, so, you know, better watch out?
Well, the first thing I'd say about the Bulldog premiership, and the same thing will happen if Melbourne win tomorrow, was that the longer these clubs go without winning, these old traditional clubs, the feeling that accompanies these victories is just enormous. And tomorrow, clearly, there's going to be enormous feeling. There's enormous feeling for both teams, but Melbourne particularly, because they are the oldest club, of their sort in the world, and they've got this. That one of the most magnificently eccentric sporting institutions I've ever seen.
Why so?
Well, you've got Bridie on your panel. I was with him in New Guinea in 2011, and we glided into this bay, and the next bay around 6 German missionaries had landed in the 1890s and got eaten. And cannibalistic, it says you have to eat every part of the body, and they hadn't been able to eat the boots, and they boiled them and cooked them. And those people are remembered as the boot people. So we arrive in this bay, and there's three grass huts. One's for the tomb of the body of a musician that David had a lot to do with. One's the family home. The third one is a grass hut built for him, David. And we go into the grass hut for the dead musician, and there's 8 men sitting around in silence. He leaves me in there alone, and after about 5 minutes, one of these guys gets up and says to me, "Who are you barrack for in State of Origin?" And then on come the Saturday, Friday's sitting on the veranda of his grass hut, warm beer in hand, in red and blue board shorts, getting text messages from a game in Melbourne, and shouting his belief in the Melbourne Football Club to the New Guinea jungle.
David,
that is not an eccentricity that we have, you know, we have imbued this current team with, though, Martin. So the good thing is that we've moved away and we are now in a new era, which gives it a very different flavour.
Oh, Maxi Gawn's a bit of, he's a great eccentric character.
He certainly is.
Yeah, Beverly, what is different about the side now?
Well, you know, Hamish, I think we have to realise that this is such a different era of football. You know, the team of the 50s and 60s that Melbourne has lauded and lived off for so many years and felt was their sort of, was their birthright almost, is no longer. And so we have to, yes, I think Martin is right about how this is going to feel because of this 57-year drought if we are lucky enough to get across the line. But this is an era of players that are so... It is such a different era for them. These boys, you just feel, understand the moment. You know, to put a team like this together for any football club is incredibly difficult, to get all those ingredients that come together with a team that is being cohesive, a club is being cohesive. It has so much has to go right. And you get the feeling that these boys believe in themselves. They've been playing together for a number of years. There are a number of players who are around that 28-year-old mark that just know what it is. Their bodies have matured. They are battle-weary. They know what it takes. And you feel that they understand that as a group for the first time.
David Brady, one text just coming into us here at Radio National this morning says, I have a friend who's a passionate Demons fan who's been afraid to even watch a home and away game on TV this year for fear of jinxing them. Can you just describe for us this, I suppose, feeling that exists amongst the crowd, the supporters, of wanting to do everything, I suppose, right in the lead up to this and even during it?
Oh, no, look, don't have any kind of rituals about watching. We're a pretty resolute mob. You remember that, you know, when we were at school, when I was at school, kids would come along who had no interest in football and they'd jump onto Hawthorn and Richmond and they'd come and tease me on a Monday morning going, huh, you Melbourne lost again and stuff. So you learn from a very early age to have thick skin, and you stuck to, in my case, you stuck to it because my dad was a big Melbourne supporter, and even though we weren't successful necessarily, you had characters like Ray Bifford and Robbie Flower and Aaron Davey and, of course, the great Jimmy Steins and yeah, look, there was a little bit of gallows humour. There was a sense of humour at the games, and then those wins, the wins that you'd have, you'd celebrate really well. It's unusual for us to be celebrating wins in final series, but boy, the last two over Brisbane and then against Geelong were pretty strong victories. And as Beverly said, this is a different kind of side. They're very they bat really deep. All our bottom six players are really, really strong. They play a style of football that stands up in finals. And in Max Gawn, we've got one of the great characters. So, you know, I saw an interview the other day and Max was saying, you know, Max came from, you know, when he first started, Jimmy Steins brought him out and said he's special and wants him to be unique and not change his character. And Max said, you know, I was dropped 13 times. I had two knee reconstructions. I was emergency a whole bunch of times. And so I want to make all those players who were like that, I want to make this a really safe and comfortable environment. And I reckon the rest of the side really trusts him as a football player. And, boy, that third quarter against Geelong, he was just they were having fun. And that's you know, the Doggies are also a side that, you know, play with flair and attack the game really well. So it should be a cracking game. But, no rituals. We're just going to jump in and do what we've been doing all year, Hamish.
Martin, do you think it makes much of a difference, the fact that this is taking place in Perth? Does that, for fans of these two clubs, remove some of the romance, some of the fervour?
I'm not sure it's possible to remove the fervour. That's like removing the alcohol from whiskey. But it's certainly very sad because it's such a great Melbourne day. It's such a great Melbourne event. The Dogs, you know, like Sydney come from South Melbourne, but South Melbourne are a working-class club, Sydney are a middle-class Sydney club. The Dogs are still in the western suburbs of Melbourne, and they bring all the issues. And it's one of the most ethnically diverse places in Australia, possibly in the world, but they are all of the west. And that's what happened in 2016. When that force comes out of the earth, it is a huge force. And Melbourne, curiously enough, named Melbourne, but they don't really have a geographical base within the city, but they have this astonishing history. Someone just mentioned Jimmy Steins, you know, like when I said that, what an eccentric club. Jimmy Steins' uncle fought with Michael Collins, who was classified as a terrorist by the British government, and he comes back and saves what's supposed to be the establishment club. And before that, the last bloke who saved the establishment club was an Orthodox Jew, Diamond Joe Goodnick. So they've just got this most amazing... they've just got to that Melbourne, point, they're both clubs. They've got so many characters.
Martin, to that point, you know, when I was on the board, I was so surprised to find just how well spread Melbourne supporters are across the whole city. You know, they do think it is the establishment right in those more wealthier suburbs. But in fact, Hamish, around Melbourne at the moment, there are homes everywhere from one side of the city to the other decorated in Melbourne colours. There is so much excitement in the city about it. But in some ways, I think the fact they are in this Perth bubble, away from the demands and the pressure that a grand final week brings, may be actually a blessing, because it is one of the most difficult weeks of pressure for football clubs who have not been in that position before, who have not been in a grand final. And we have one player who has played in a grand final. So, you know, perhaps the pressure is off them in, to a degree, because they don't have that monstrous day in, day out, then the grand final parade today, which should have been filling the streets instead of protesters, and then that extraordinary occasion, which sometimes can be too big for people. They've been so beautifully contained in Perth, so maybe that is going to be a silver lining for them. And sadly for us, we're away from it, but maybe that is something we just have to sacrifice for that.
Well, I've been enjoying this conversation so much. We're running over time. We're going to have to leave it there. A huge thank you to all of you. I was even going to ask you for some tips, but I think, frankly, we all know which way you're going to tip. Beverly O'Connor, Martin Flanagan and David Bridie, have a wonderful weekend, and we hope you enjoy it even from afar.
Thanks so much. Bridie,
thanks,
let's go.
Go, Jase.